North Rock Podcast.
Oh, well, good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? We're good? Hey, how many of you guys, along with me, think the Sohaila likes being on the stage, right? Like, man, that is a nice prop. I'm going to preach out of that the next time that I'm here. Have that box on. Keeps everybody's attention a little bit easier that way. Hey, I get the privilege of bringing the word to us today. We are in a mini-series of what we call Off the Top of Our Heads. And so that means that for that particular week, the pastor that's preaching gets to talk about whatever is on the top of their heads. And I'm telling you, that can be some scary territory with some of the people that run around here, myself included, right? So for today, I have chosen the topic of being a disciple-making movement, okay? So wherever you come from and however you got here this morning, you may or may not be aware of it, but as you walk into this place, the church, you are a part of God's disciple-making movement. So I know it doesn't feel like that all the time, right? Like you'd say, hey, Pastor Chad, like, you don't know what's going on. Like, life is hard sometimes, and I have this thing going on, that thing going on. And Jesus says, yeah, I know. But you're still a disciple-making movement that I'm making in your midst, right? Because the truth of the matter is, most people I know, pastors included, don't feel like they can do what God's called them to do without his supernatural presence and power in their lives, right? Like, I don't have it all figured out. Just doing the best I can each day to love God, love people, and do his work, right? That's really what being a disciple is all about. Sometimes, to be honest with you, pastors and churches can make it way more complex and complicated than it has to be, right? So basic definition of a disciple, it's a follower of Jesus, a person who says, whatever Jesus tells me to do, I'm going to do. Whatever he shows me to do, I'm going to do. And when he tells me to go right, I'm going to go right. When he tells me to go left, I'm going to go left. Whatever it is, I'm going to follow him and do that. Well, as you do that, God releases an influence in your life that makes you a disciple making disciples. So we're going to look at what the movements are that make us disciples from God's word, right? And we're going to talk about how that impacts the people around us, okay? So again, we can't trust our feelings. We've got to trust his word, right? So let's look at his word. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 is where we're going to start today. That's going to be the base of our text. And so it basically is Jesus talking to his disciples, right? And the truth of the matter is, even when I say that, we all picture like these fishermen dudes, right? With big beards and like smells like fish and all that good stuff, right? But those are disciples, but what we do here today is discipleship is what we're going to talk about that in a minute. So let's read what Jesus said. It says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, it says, Jesus came and he told his disciples, I have given you all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands that I've given to you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen? So again, that's what we call the Great Commission. That was Jesus coming and saying, listen, I have got power for your life as you follow me and do what I do. And whether you realize it or not, walking into this place, what we're doing today isn't just playing church. It isn't just listening to a nice message or some worship. We're actually practicing the stuff. We're practicing these discipleship movements, right? Worship. When we listen to a song, it's music, right? When we respond with our hearts and say, God, that's true. That's what you say about me. And we sing it back to him. That's worship. That's a discipleship movement, right? It's that simple, okay? But like I said, most people assume that to be a disciple maker, like we have to have some postgraduate degree, right? Like if we were honest, we'd say, let's leave that to the pastors, right, and the experts in the field. Lord, help us all if that's what we do, right? Because it's not going to get done that way, okay? Most of us would assume that we need to know more than we know, and we need to be more or be better or be different than we currently are to be a disciple-making discipler. Amen? Like if we were honest, that's what we'd say. Say, I'm just trying to like make it through life and not hurt anybody. Right? Well, if that's your desire, that could be the love of Jesus in your heart, not wanting to hurt people, right? Like, that's what we've got to learn. As we get close to him, he transforms us, amen? That everything that needed to happen for us to follow Jesus and to be disciple makers, according to Matthew 28, he's accomplished in our lives. And as we walk in rhythm, as we walk in step with him, he shows us how to live out this life. And he empowers us to do that through the power of his Holy Spirit. So if you're here today and you say, I feel like I need to know more, I need to be more, I need to do better, I need to, you're in good company because we all feel that way, okay? But according to Pastor Daniel Brown, we call him Dr. Daniel Brown around here, who's been a pastor for 35, 40 years, just got done doing a discipleship seminar for us out in Greeley, where he makes you work through a book like this on discipleship. It's incredible. I'm going to do you the favor of only telling you this much of what he said in it, okay? And basically, this is what he says. He says that what we just talked about, that lie, the belief that we can't do this because we're not ready, we're not qualified, we don't know enough, whatever it is, fill in the blank. He says this belief or that belief gravely hinders the church and our simple obedience to Jesus' disciple-making command. He says, yes, of course, he and we both want to keep on maturing and growing in our spiritual understanding and depth. Amen? Like, we're not there yet, folks, right? He's still working on us. But our journey with him is a process. It's a process of learning who he is and how to live out that life, right? It says, and we are not yet what we will be after many more years of following him. But in the meantime, along the way, he wants to use us and shape others. Since Jesus told us all to go and make disciples, then at least in his mind, you and I can do it. He would have not told you to do something if you couldn't possibly do it. He has much more confidence in you than you do. Isn't that good news this morning, church? I mean, it's one thing to say, I believe in God. Praise, awesome. God's perfect. Of course. But it's another thing to realize that he says, I believe in you. I believe in my transformational power to work through you in all circumstances to his glory, right? That's what being a disciple is. We're just basically reflecting back the life that Jesus has done in us, okay? So if Jesus intended for all of his followers, his disciples, right, to make disciples, but very few of his followers actually engage in doing so, it's also possible that maybe our disciple-making model is broken, right? Like, maybe we believe some stuff about it that makes it more hard than it really is. And for that, I got to blame churches. I got to blame pastors because we, like, build these classes and these courses, and we do 101s and 201s and 701s, and because we always want to be more interesting and we want to always be relevant. We always want people to be growing in their faith with God, when the reality is Jesus says, hey, follow me, and others will follow you, and we'll do this thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today. Thank you that you are leading our lives. Lord, that this isn't just a message. This isn't just a building. This isn't just a people. Lord, we're your living body. And that, Lord, you are moving in us. You're speaking to us. And that as we worship you, as we dig into your word, Lord, you transform our hearts. And as you transform our hearts, you transform our lives. And as you do that, other people's lives are affected by that. Father, help us to walk in your anointing. And help us, Lord, to live out your message in this world as your disciples, making disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the Apostle John, was one of the disciples. He was one that the other disciples were all kind of jealous of because he was always closest with Jesus, right? He was the beloved one. And so we all know those kind of people, right, that you just go, oh, geez, ugh. They're so close to Jesus, I don't even want to talk to him, right? That's who this was. And John, in John chapter 8, says this about being a disciple. Helps us understand, what are these rhythms of the life of a disciple? What does it look like? John 8:31 says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, right? So just mark that, keep that there. A disciple is faithful to remain in Jesus' teachings, right? John 13:35 says that your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So you get that. Those that stay faithful to Jesus' teaching and show love in the world are his disciples, right? Do some of us feel a little more qualified than what we would normally feel like, right? Just by those two definitions. See, the challenge is, because we know God is perfect and we know that there's so many challenges in the world, we don't feel competent to do what God's called us to do on most days, right? But when we get our strength by going back to Jesus, getting his strength, getting his authority, getting his word, right, and trusting that as truth over our feelings or our circumstances, that when that happens, there's an authority that's placed on our lives to be disciple-making disciples. He says it this way in 1 John 5. He talks about a challenge that happens when we get too far away from Jesus, right? Because sometimes we can do that, can't we? I mean, can we all admit that as pastors, as followers of Jesus, we can drift? Like we can get our eyes on this, like, ooh, that's shiny, right? And Jesus is like, hey, we're going this way. No, ooh, but look at that. Like, that's pretty cool, right? That we can all drift in the way that we walk this thing out. So 1 John 5 says, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Isn't that a good promise? That when he's carrying it through us, they're not burdensome. But when we're just thinking about the law of God, and we're talking about just commandments, like we want to say it that way, like the commandments of God are, right? And that's not who he is. He's saying, I'm carrying this. I'm doing it through you. Stay by me, and it won't be burdensome, right? How many of you guys want that today, right? I want to be able to live this out. I want to live it out loud. I want to live it in a way that it impacts other people for the good, right? That's the sweet spot. That's what we're talking about in being disciple-making disciples. Truth of the matter is, sometimes we think that we can impart and just talk about it and just let it get into our cerebral cortex and just start to intellectualize it, and we learn and we learn and we learn and we learn, when the real way that we become disciples is we live whatever we learn, right? One of my passions in life is that whatever we teach, we try to live out. That's it. I'll never teach you something that I don't think that we can walk out. I'll never go so deep that we just go, oh gosh, I don't even know where to start with that, right? That's not what we want. We want to be practical. So I'm a practical person, and I need a framework to know how to do this discipleship thing. He just defined to us what it is, loving God, loving others, and being faithful to his teachings, his commands in our lives. So I'd suggest today that there's basically three elements that make up a disciple making disciples life, okay? First one is that they model. Second one is that they mentor. The third one is that they multiply through generous living together. Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung once said that you are what you do, not what you say you'll do, right? That's really the truth of who people are. Or for that matter, you are what you do, not as much as what you talk about or you sing about or you simply read about, right? That's not to say we shouldn't do those things. It's just to say that as we do those things, we should do the things that make disciples, right? We should do discipleship, okay? So John 15:8 says this way. He says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. You guys hear that? That's that multiply part, right? We model it by following Jesus, right? We mentor others as they observe our lives, and it's multiplied into their lives, okay? And in fact, that's what it teaches, is that when you produce fruit, you prove discipleship. You live this stuff out, and people's lives are better because of it. And it says that brings great glory to our Father, okay? So by practicing these, what we call missional rhythms in our lives, the aroma of Christ, participating and extending the awareness of the rule of Jesus in our lives, we prove that it can't be just taught and bought and canned and drank, right? That it's not just about a class or a curriculum or a program or a certain set of behaviors. It's about a living relationship with the living God. That's what discipleship is. So in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, it says this. It says, for God is not unjust. Amen? He's not unjust. We'll know that. It might take us a while to figure that out, but he's not unjust. It says, he will not forget how hard you've worked for him or how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers. That's just a long way of saying being a disciple, making disciples, right? As you still do. Verse 11 says, our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts. So is there an option for us to stop loving people if we're his disciples? Right? I mean, but what if they do this? Or what if they do that? Or what if, right? It says that our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Okay? And this is why. Verse 12, it says, then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Okay, so just like we talked about drift, it's possible in our walks with Christ, if we just listen and learn but don't apply, that we can become spiritually dull and indifferent, right? It's not a judgment. It happens to all of us when we don't apply what we know that Jesus is calling us to do. It says, instead, here's the other option. Here's how disciple-making disciples do it. He says, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and their endurance, right? As we sit here today and I preach this message to you, I know that there are some of us here today that are still waiting on the promise that God has given you. The way that we arrive at that is by the hope of faith and endurance, right? Faith and endurance. Living this thing out in love so that we don't become spiritually dull and indifferent people. Amen? So why be a disciple? That's the reason right there. Okay, because it impacts others' lives and it impacts our lives. So if you're like me, you need a way to walk this thing out. You need some behaviors, you need some steps that we can all take together to grow in these discipleship behaviors. In his book, Surprise the World, author Michael Frost offers us a framework that's an acronym, BELLS, bells, you know, like the ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Right, I do that because you're going to remember it now, okay? Ding-a-ling-a-ling. So it's a great way to think about it, too. Every time that we do these things, it's like it rings the reign of God in people's lives, okay? So BELLS, everybody say bless. And then everybody else with those people say eat. And then listen. And then learn. And then this is the one I kind of took some liberty on. It's supposed to be S, but I say live sent. Okay, so say live sent. So BELLS, bells, okay? It's a thing. That's what us preachers do. You find some good stuff, you put your, you know, your twist on it, and then it becomes your stuff. But I still gave Michael Frost credit for it, okay? Really, all that is a simple way to live out these missional rhythms of being disciple-making disciplers. We think it too much, and therefore we don't enact on it because we don't feel like we can do it, and then we also don't see the benefits of living a life of love, right? How does the world know that we're his disciples? By living a life of love. That simple. Okay, so let's talk about it. Bless. Blessing people should be the way that Christians do life. Amen? The Christians need to be known, people at North Rock need to be known as some of the most generous people that bless other people. Why? Because in doing so, we disciple disciples. By doing so, people go, what's with those people? They're so kind. They help in situations that people need help. They give of themselves generously, their time, their energy, their money, towards things that don't benefit them necessarily, right? So his generosity is shown through us as we live out generous lives. So when we lighten a burden, when we encourage somebody, when we pray with somebody, when we just lift up somebody's spirit, when we recognize they're having a hard day and we give the time and energy to just help encourage them, you are doing discipleship. You're being a disciple. Jesus is living this life through you, okay? His words build up, acts of kindness and gifts encourage, and it helps us be a blesser and not a converter. Okay, so the reason I say that differently is because sometimes we see too short of goals, right? We're like, how many of you guys enjoy having a relationship with Jesus, right? We don't have to raise our hand. We know it's the best way to live. It's the only way to live, to have true life. That's what Jesus says. Abundant life is to live that life in him. We want people to get that. But here's the trick to being a disciple, making discipler. People don't want to feel like projects. People don't want you to fix them. People don't want you to just convert them. Right? They want relationship. They want to do life with us. And as we do that and we bless them, then they go, okay, what's up? Something different with you. Why are you being nice to me, right? And in fact, it's funny to watch because some people, all their senses go off like, you're being nice to me. You're trying to scam me or something, aren't you? No, I'm not. I'm just trying to be nice. That's it. Just trying to live out my life as a disciple. That's it, okay? So, this isn't just my opinion. This isn't just what we read in the scriptures. Dave Ferguson, who's a pastor of a movement of churches that's based out of Chicago, in his book called Discover Your Mission Now, cites research that says that when we contribute to the overall good of our society, when we're generous to social good issues in our lives and in our communities, we're 50 times more likely and 50 times more successful in helping people find their way back to God. See, that's the other part of being a disciple, isn't it? That our job is to help other people find their way back to God, okay? So we bless people, right? Bless. Second thing we do as followers of Christ is we eat. Now, I don't hear anybody complaining about that one, right? And the truth of the matter is churches eat probably way too much a lot of the time. But again, there's a missional practice behind it. There's a reason. It's really one of the most sacred practices that we can have is to invite somebody to our table and say, hey, I want to share life with you. Hey, let's grab something to eat. Really, that's what communion's all about, right? His body, his blood broken for us. And when we're out and we see people that need Jesus, that we have been placed in their lives to help encourage them, that we actually get to help them come to the table and eat, okay? So eating is a good thing, especially when we do it in a missional mindset. As disciples, we eat to create space for people to come to know him. Okay, so when we cultivate that, it's a disciple-making, discipleship lifestyle. Okay, so we bless, we eat, and then we listen, right? When you sit down at the table, you have a chance to talk to somebody, we have the opportunity to really listen to them. But before that, we've got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit in our lives, don't we? Like, if we bypass that part, if we don't sit with the Lord first, then we're missing the stuff that we want to encourage people with, right? That it's sitting with him, it's listening to him, it's allowing the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives that allows us to be Spirit-led people. To where we're sitting with them, we're listening to their story, and all of a sudden you hear something, you're like, hey, tell me about this, right? Anybody have that experience? That's just called prophetic listening. That's just Jesus in us helping somebody through a situation. And here's what I think. I'm concerned in our society that we're so busy with our phones and all the gadgets and all the things and all the on-demand and all the stuff that we have access to that we've stopped learning to listen to people, right? And here's what I believe is that as a disciple, as a listening disciple, we can listen three layers deep. The first layer for all of us is, what are they saying? What does it mean to me? Right? And that's usually like that bottom line, brass tacks, like get to the point already, right? That's what that first level of listening is. Most people listen at that level. They don't think about anything else. Second level of listening is listening to what they're saying and saying, what does it mean to them? Like, why are they telling me this? What does this mean about their lives? And we show interest and we ask follow-up questions. And that always leads to what could be the third level of listening. That is, what's God saying in what they're saying? Does that make sense? And so when we build those relationships and we spend time eating with them, when we're generous, when we bless them, it creates an atmosphere of receptivity. It creates influence in people's lives so that they can ask questions and learn. And that's the next thing we're talking about. That disciples are learners, right? The reason you got up, spent part of your Sunday morning here at North Rock with us is because you're a learner, because you're a disciple, because you're trying to figure out, how do I walk this thing out with Jesus in a way that really is the fullness of what he wants to do in my life, okay? So learning to live life through Jesus takes learning. So everybody can take a big, deep breath, right? Like, we don't have to have it all figured out. We just got to know the one that does have it all figured out and walk with him, okay? So I would just say this, when it comes to studying the Word of God, right, we would do well to study for ourselves, amen? That, like, seriously, if this is the only meal you get when you come on Sundays and you listen to me say something or you listen to some of our pastoral team talk, like, that's good, but that's like eating once a week, right? We don't want to do that. We want to feed ourselves. We want to be those that have such a robust relationship with Jesus as disciple-making disciples that we are hungry for the next word that he gives us. How many of us today would say, I'm hungry for the next word, right? I mean, I love having breakfast, but guess what? When it's lunchtime, I'm thinking about lunch. I'm not getting all nostalgic about, oh, man, those eggs. Mm-hmm. No, right? No. It's about the next meal that God wants to give us, okay? So we got to learn, okay? Because here's the deal. Here's the only thing I'm going to say on it. I don't want us to be a people who settle for stages and sermons when God's desire is for you to be a sage, right? Don't settle for sermons and stages when God's plan for your life is to be a sage. What's a sage? A sage is somebody who has walked, who has learned, and who has directions for others who are still trying to find the way. You guys know that's really the definition of a disciple. Hey, I don't know everything, but this is what I know, and I'm willing to help you with what I got. That's it. Okay? Are we getting excited that we can actually do this disciple-making thing? Huh? Somebody's going to do it? Yeah? Because Jesus said, like, we're all doing it, right? So we'll all do it. Okay, Luke 9:23, as we get ready to kind of wrap things up here, says, "Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me." It's discipleship. That's all we do. That's how we do. So that's the last part. It's that S. So bless, eat, listen, learn, and be sent. Live sent, right? The S is that we go back out into the crowds. We go back out into the worlds. We go back out into our places of employment, into our schools, into our families. How many of you guys are having a little anxiety about Thanksgiving meal, right? It's a chance for us to grow in our discipleship, amen? To be disciples that disciple and bless other people. But that's what it's about. We go back out into there. And here's the deal. Living sent requires some level of risk, doesn't it? Like people that don't know Jesus sometimes aren't very nice people. Right? Hey, listen, I wasn't. I barely qualify now. Right? But I can promise you I'm doing a whole lot better than I was doing before I knew Jesus. Does that make sense? So we got to have that risk. We got to be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to invest in their lives. I know that they're kind of biting at me a little bit, but I'm going to get to the heart of what's going on because Jesus loves them, and he's called me to be a disciple-making disciple, amen? So that they can live the life that we get the privilege and the honor of living. We're called to do these things, but what it requires is not just that we'll take a step out into the risky areas of life while people learn to be disciples, but we've also got to take a step into the community of God's grace in our life, right? The reason we come to church isn't to listen to a great message, right? Or is it? It's not, is it? It's to worship God. It's to be with his people. It's to learn the word of God. It's to pray. Those are all practices. Those are all dance steps of the disciple, right? I'm not going to dance for you because I'm not going to embarrass my family like that. But when you're doing the bells, ding-a-ling-a-ling, you're doing discipleship. These are the discipleship dance moves, okay? So I just want to say with that, the last piece is that when you take step into community, it's not just about how God will bless your life. Because you step into community and you serve and you do some things that are these steps that we talked about, that you actually bless other people's lives. That the house of God, the place of God, the place of worship, the community of faith is a place where we practice learning how to serve each other so that when we're out there on our own, it just is natural in how we do things. So with that being said, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here. I'm going to read you one more verse that again describes this discipleship thing. How many today would say, I think I've got it. I think I've got a model for how to do this thing, and I feel like I can do it better than I've been doing it, right? That's all we do. We each take another step in it. But 2 Timothy 2:2 gives the perfect text of what this disciple-making disciple movement looks like. Okay? And it simply says this, the things that you've heard from me, this is Paul speaking, and he says, the things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to other faithful people. And who those people will be able to teach other people how to do as well, right? That's the disciple-making movement. That's the body of Christ. That's the church in existence. Did you hear that? A few in community reproducing as mentors, right? It's four layers of generations. Paul says, from me to you to other faithful people who will then also, right? It's four layers deep. Can I just tell you that as a congregation, we gather together like this so we can grow together, so that we can go on mission together as disciple-making disciples. We got plenty of places to connect and relate through our grow groups. We got four layers of leadership here at North Rock because we're creating space for people to do life together and to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, right? So you got support pastors and ministry directors and team leaders and places to serve on teams, not for the purposes of getting all the church work done. Thank God, right? Like, I'm glad I don't stand up here and just say, hey, would somebody please just serve our nurseries or give us good food or... No, the reason we do anything we do is so that people's lives can get done by Jesus and we get a little work done along the way. Amen? Let's pray. Let's respond in worship. And would you just do your pastor that favor? Would you just ask the Lord while we're worshiping this, Lord, what's my next step with you? Where are you taking me? How is it that you're asking me to act on what I already know? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have called us. You have equipped us. Lord, you have brought us to be a people. Lord, a people who were once not a people. Lord, you have given us authority. You've given us a life. You've given us a story that we can share with somebody. So, Lord, I pray that we would, in our best courage, we would take courage. And we would be those that understand that we have a story that we can influence others with as well. Help us to bless. Help us, Lord, to do discipleship in everything that we do. Help us to see the conversations we have in that way. And pray, Lord, you would mobilize us to live out this life in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, that is the prayer of our hearts. Lord, we know that as we follow you, Lord, you mobilize us to model, to mentor, and to multiply what you're doing in our lives. Lord, that's all we do. We're just a beggar leading other beggars to water. So, Lord, we thank you for that, that you can relieve us from the pressure of feeling like we have to have everything together to be a disciple-making disciple. Lord, we thank you for your word today that encourages us to live out the life that you give us in a way that makes much out of you and that brings a lot of blessings to other people's lives. Help us to take that and live that as much as we know how. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Chad, I get what you're talking about. I understand this whole idea that Jesus said that him through me makes a disciple-making movement. But as I stand here today, I don't know for sure that I have a relationship with God. I don't know that I've ever responded to the grace message that Jesus died for all of our sins and that all we need to do is trade this life for his life to receive it. That's the good news. That's what we're here for. That's why we gather, is to celebrate that good news that Jesus loves all and he's given himself to all. Amen? And so as part of that, our community, our rhythm of discipleship is that we pray a prayer here in just responding to what he has done in our lives. And so whether you're praying this for the first time with us today or you're praying it for your 50th time, let's pray it like it's our first time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. Let me hear you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if God's encouraged you today, can you give him a clap offering? Can you help him say, God, you're good, you're faithful, and you're the best way to live. Amen? Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I'd love to meet you. I've got a gift to help you get started in this journey with Jesus, or if we can pray with you for anything, please come see us, okay? God bless you. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you for being here at North Rock.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.